Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we're going to talk about the Giants with Ray Woodson. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation with Ray Woodson. Well, Ray, since we last talked, the Giants really have dropped out of the race here. I remember talking to you last time before that Cubs series, and that seemed to be a pivotal series, and we both were talking about how the Giants could not afford to get swept. They really needed to win two out of three or maybe sweep that series. Instead, they did get swept in that series. So, you know, that was kind of the beginning of this tumble, and now they've lost 10 of the last 13 going into the Tuesday night game in St. Louis. So, really, their chances of reaching the postseason are nil, you know, not statistically, but, you know, it really looks like they don't have a chance. So what do you look forward to here in the last few weeks of the season?
Yeah, just real quick, I think we mentioned if they got swept by the Cubs, it was curtains. And that's pretty much the case. That's the team that they're really chasing because, you know, Washington's going to claim the first spot, undoubtedly, the way they're playing. And they might still win their division. They still have an outside shot at that. And so the two teams that are ahead of them, they went 0-3 against the Cubs, and then they lost 2 to Arizona. So that was that. You know, and I think it's evident by the weekend playing San Diego that the wind was out of their sails. So yeah, now what do you look for? Well, it's the final farewell for Bruce Bochy, and he's you know, making his last visit to St. Louis and last visit to San Diego. Be very interesting to see how he's treated in L.A., coming up this weekend. So there's going to be the goodbye for Bruce Bochy. Johnny Cueto coming back. And, you know, it sounds like he's ready to go. He was, I think, 6 shutout innings last time in Sacramento. So I hadn't heard yet whether they're going to have him do another rehab start or just start him this weekend in L.A. Quite possible they could. But, you know, maybe they're going to wait a little longer. There's really no urgency here. And I understand, but at least from the videos I've seen, he's in really good shape on top of everything else. So, you know, you got Johnny Cueto coming back, and if he can show that he's the Johnny Cueto of old, or at least close to that, you know, that gives him a little bounce going into next year, something else to look forward to. And the third thing is, you know, which of these young guys that they call up is going to make an impact and show what they can do at the major league level. You know, the complicating factor here is Sacramento's in the playoffs for the first time, I think, since 2012. And, you know, they're starting to post better records up and down the minor league system. I think there was one point a couple of years ago where every team was in last. So that's not good. I mean, you know, the minor league records are what they are, but the thing I remember about the group that came up and became championship players, when you talk about Crawford and Bumgarner and Posey, et cetera, is they won in the minor leagues, and they learned how to win in the minor leagues. And I think that's something that's important to this organization now, to show that not only can they compete, that they've got some talented players, and they're restocking the farm system, but they're learning how to win. And so I think that'll serve them well going forward.
Yeah, and that last point you made about the young players and taking a look at them, I mean, first and foremost is the way Mauricio Dubon is playing right now, you know, coming up and hitting his first major league homer on Monday, and he had a double, and some of the plays that he's making defensively and showing range. I mean, he's definitely one of the more exciting young players the Giants have had coming up from the minor leagues, and he didn't come up through their system. They got him from the Brewers in that trade, the Drew Pomeranz trade, and a guy who had ACL surgery. He tore his ACL just last year. So, you know, you wondered about him as a prospect. How is he going to come back from that? And this kid, he's exciting, and he's very likable, just seeing how he's smiling out there on the field. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he went to high school in Sacramento. There's so many great little storylines with him. I think it's going to be fun to watch him the last few weeks.
Well, yeah, he doesn't look overwhelmed out there. He doesn't seem rushed or nervous or anything like that. It's very, very early to judge these deals, but this one looks like it has some promise. And, you know, they're looking for a second baseman for the future. Donovan Solano has filled in nicely there from time to time, but I don't know if, he's a guy who's a little older and hasn't really stuck in the major leagues. He's done a good job with the Giants this year, for sure, but is that going to sustain itself? No, I think you look at the younger players. And Dubon, with the learning the double play combination with Brandon Crawford, that's, I think, a very interesting dynamic going forward. And, you know, he hit a home run off one of the hottest relief pitchers in baseball since the All-Star break. You know, it wasn't some September scrub. And he turned on that and hit it in the third deck. And we heard that he did have some pop. So he's an interesting guy. That's definitely one of the guys I'm going to be looking at closely down the stretch.
Another guy that didn't get called up, but I know everybody's excited about him, is Jalen Davis, who the Giants got in that Sam Dyson trade with the Minnesota Twins. And he has just put up an incredible year. I mean, with Sacramento, 356, 10 homers and 104 plate appearances. And overall on the year, Ray, 35 homers, 94 RBIs, hitting over 300. So, I mean, he's going to help out Sacramento, obviously, in the playoffs. And then the Giants will take a look at him. And I know Giants fans just probably can't wait to see this guy on the field.
Yeah, a right-handed power hitter, correct? So,
yeah.
This is somebody to look forward to in the future. Another deadline acquisition, a guy that at least you can say throw him up against the wall, see if he sticks, might have some promise. I mean, we all know you take these minor league numbers, especially Sacramento, with a grain of salt. How do they look at the major league level? We're going to find out pretty soon. So, yes, that's another guy. Chris Shaw coming back. I guess he had three home runs in the game that clinched the postseason spot for the Rivercats.
Yeah.
He's cut down on his strikeouts. He struck out yesterday in the one at bat I saw him, but you know, he's learning to work the count a little bit better, not be so free swinging. And you know, he has tremendous power. I'd have to think that he's getting his last shot here, if not in spring training next year. So that's another guy. But they need power hitters. That's what you're looking for: some guys who can lead the yard on a consistent basis at the major league level. Now, the interesting thing about this squad that Farhan Zaidi put together and has kind of tinkered with since June 1st. They've been hitting a lot of home runs, but they hardly hit any in the first couple months of the season compared to the rest of the major leagues. So they're really falling behind, and this is the year of the home run. So, you know, their offense is better, actually, much better than it has been in the last couple of years, but not good enough still for what we're seeing in the major leagues. I liken it to a golf tournament where they're shooting 6 under par, okay, but everybody else is going low, and the leader's at 18 under par. You know, so they're still... Yeah, you know, they're better. They're respectable. They're 4.4 runs a game. But even that's not cutting it now. When you look at the Minnesota Twins breaking the major league record for home runs by a team before September. So it's a whole different day and age now. And I think the Giants recognize this. Farhan Zaidi has recognized this. That you've got to bring some power into the organization. And they're at least getting a start on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to see Kevin Pillar come over from the Blue Jays and have the season that he has had. I mean, it's been pretty amazing to see him hit 20 home runs. That's a career high for him. I don't think anybody expected that. The defense that he's playing, he looks like a keeper. They need to keep him on the roster for next year and beyond. And the same with Mike Yastrzemski, who nobody expected to do what he's been doing. I mean, he was basically a journeyman, a career minor leaguer, but he's got 18 homers, and he's another guy who's just hustling all over the place and making diving plays. I mean, those two are pretty much no-brainers, I would think, to bring back and have them be mainstays for the Giants.
Well, if you look at the turnaround of the Giants, that got them at least on the edge of contention and made it a little more interesting summer than we thought it was going to be. It was the outfield. The outfield was the worst in baseball. It might have been the worst outfield ever. I mean, look at the offensive output. It was just horrid. And so, you know, any changes would probably be an improvement for them. And so, yeah, they dealt for Pilar. Alex Dickerson made a nice impact, and then he got hurt, and now he's kind of struggling. And then you got Mike Yastrzemski, and he's another guy, and of course he has the family lineage, where he's not overwhelmed by being in a major league environment, but he's had a lot of roadblocks and setbacks along the way. And so he's not really considered a prospect at age 28. But you have to consider each case individually, and this might be a case of a late bloomer. We'll see. I mean, the league's going to adjust to him. There's no doubt about that. He had a great July and August in particular. So, you know, this is a guy that, is he going to stick? Is he going to be a permanent guy? Or the scouting report's going to catch up to him? It's a toss-up to me. You can't just automatically say, yeah, he's going to fall back to earth just because he's 28. I mean, you see him play day-to-day, and you understand there's something there. He's got good speed, good outfielder, good arm, has power the opposite way, which I think is a big thing if you're going to play at 18, Oracle. I can't get out of the old habit after a decade at Oracle Park. To have the opposite field power in that park as a left-handed hitter, I think is key, you know, unless they change the dimensions of the park. So he's a guy that, you know, you at least feel like for the start of 2020 you can go forward with, along with Pilar, who's been a terrific pickup for them. And we talked about how good he's been defensively in center field, how many times he's made diving catches, and that he might be the best defensive center fielder they've had in a couple of decades. And, you know, the outfield defense was bad in the past, and I think that hurt some of the pitchers in their ERAs as well. So, you know, that's the one significant thing I think has come out of this summer, is that they have bolstered the outfield. And, you know, with the young guys we talked about coming up as well, you know, it might be a little bit of promise in the future. I mean, it can't be worse than their history of grooming outfielders. Besides Yastrzemski, before that, was the last guy that they groomed? And again, Yastrzemski was obtained from the Orioles organization. The last guy they groomed in the minor league system who became an everyday impact player who was an outfielder, Chili Davis?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, over a period of several years, not just a couple of years. So the bar is really, really low there. And if they can get some production from the minor leagues for their outfield, that'll definitely help them going forward.
Absolutely. And Austin Slater actually has helped out, too. I mean, it's nice to see the way he's played. Yeah, it's good to see a guy like that improve. You know, he got a little bit of a chance the last couple of years. But, I mean, he made some changes in his swing. And he's definitely been a you know, really good contributor for this team in the outfield.
Well, watching him hit last year, you liked the approach. But, again, it was, you know, fly balls and bloopers to right field with that inside-out swing. Swing that is, and that wasn't going to cut it at the major league level. They wanted him to hit for more power going into the offseason, and, you know, he's a smart guy. He made the adjustment, and he's got some pretty good tools otherwise. He's got good speed. He's got a terrific arm. So he's another guy you could plug in there in the outfield, and again, right-handed hitter who has power going the other way. So, yeah, he had to make those changes, and fortunately for him, they've taken, and, you know, he has a chance now to stick at the major league level. He wasn't going to without those changes. So, you know, there's a little bit of depth there now. It's not the best outfield in baseball, not by a long shot, but I wouldn't call it the worst anymore. And it's a darn sight better than what they were rolling out there at the start of the season. So, I hope it continues for Slater. Hope it continues for Yastrzemski. Hope it continues for Pilar, for Dickerson, and maybe Jalen Davis comes up and makes an impact, and you got something to look forward to.
We'll have more with Ray Woodson right after this. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California, and there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. You know, Ray, one of my favorite parts of being a sports fan really is the connection that can be made with players and the fans. And, you know, you don't see it all the time, and it's great when there's a lot of emotion in a ballpark. And that's what we saw on Sunday with Pablo Sandoval, because he came up as a pinch hitter. He was trying to get the Giants pinch hit record for pinch hits in a season. He's tied with Ken Obergefell with 18 pinch hits, and unfortunately he just hit a ground out. But it was great to see him just get that last at bat before he has Tommy John surgery. And it's very interesting to think about what he's been through as a Giant, because of course everybody loved him when he hit those three home runs in the World Series game and the career he was having with the Giants. And then he leaves, and a lot of fans were really mad that he took off for Boston and took a lot of money, but he has come back and been a productive guy. And, you know, I hope to see him again in a Giants uniform. You see what he's done as a pinch hitter. He's been so clutch, hitting close to 400 as a pinch hitter this year. And, you know, he's just a guy who's an energetic person in that clubhouse. I think he's a very positive influence with a lot of players on the team.
Yeah, he's grown up a little bit. His energy sometimes was a little misguided before and rubbed some players the wrong way, but I think he's been a positive in this clubhouse this year. And, you know, he considers Bruce Bochy like another father. And Bruce Bochy's going to be gone now, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of dynamic there is yet next year if he's still, you know, willing to be here. He's not going to have a whole lot of choices, I'd imagine. But if he does, is there going to be a motivation to come back here even without Bochy as the manager? And, you know, that's another thing we can talk about, who the candidates might be to replace Bochy going down the road. I can think of a couple of catchers out there, like Bochy, an old catcher who could slide into the managerial spot. But we'll see about that. In the meantime, Pablo Sandoval has spanned the range of emotions with Giants fans over the years. I mean, I was there in Game 1 in 2012, the World Series, when he hit three home runs, one of the greatest individual performances I've seen in person in sports. You know, he looked like he was going to be a mainstay. But then, you know, we talked about the weight issues. His production wasn't quite what you wanted it to be, what it looked like it was going to be. Had a little bit of fall off. And then, boom, 2014 postseason, he has 26 hits and is a big part of their winning their third World Series championship. And then everything that happened after that. And I remember after that parade, he was talking to reporters. He said, you know, he wanted to be a Giant forever, a Giant for life. And I think, you know, when you had a million people, fans, cheer you in a parade and they ask you that question, well, yeah, sure, you want to keep experiencing that, you want that for the rest of your career. And then, you know, reality sets in and the Red Sox were, you know, they're the ones who made the jump to make him an offer. The Giants made a strong offer, but for various reasons, and I guess Sandoval was a little bit hurt at the time of the way the front office was dealing with him, he decided to go to Boston. That was a complete disaster. And he came back home, and I think, you know, he couldn't help but be humbled a little bit. But beyond that, I think it was a familiar atmosphere, and Bochy was the kind of guy who, you know, he can be good cop, bad cop. He can be tough on players when they need it, but he can also be nurturing. And I think he sensed Sandoval was one of those guys who need a little nurturing. And I think the last couple of years he's been a pretty good asset coming off the bench, especially this year. So it would be nice to see if they can find a spot for him, because he is a switch hitter. He can play a couple of different positions. He is a veteran, and, you know, he's popped coming off the bench. And, you know, with Longoria, I heard he had to play an extended amount this summer as well. So it'd be nice to see if they could fit a spot for him on the roster next year, but I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And, you know, he's really the best player of the World Series players. I mean, when you think about it, you know, guys like Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey, they've all had really down years. And you know, the one positive was Sandoval out of all those guys, you know, and Bumgarner, of course, has pitched really well. But I'm just, as far as position players are concerned, it's really been tough because those players have almost been like an albatross around the Giants' neck. And I hate to say that because they contributed so much, but you've got guys hitting, you know, 230, and you've got Posey who has not been productive, and it's going to make it uncomfortable, I think, next year to try to make decisions on those guys.
Well, Posey can't be a number three or number four hitter anymore. I mean, you know, it's just the reality of the roster and the lineup they have that they plug him in there, but he's not that kind of hitter anymore. You know, he's still very good defensively behind the plate, so you still like to have him there, but if you could slide him down to seventh or eighth in the order, and get a bona fide number three or four hitter. That would make all the difference in that lineup. But, yeah, Joe Panik is gone. Brandon Crawford has had a down year, especially offensively, got off to a very slow start. You know, the debate is whether he slowed down as far as his foot speed. I think he has a little bit, maybe his range a little bit. He's still a very good shortstop, but, you know, he's getting into his age 33 season next year. He's got to start thinking about the future there as well, and it might be Dubon, it might be somebody else. And then Brandon Belt, you know, who still has a pretty good on-base percentage, but the batting average isn't where you want it. And, you know, these days people say batting average doesn't matter. Well, it matters a little bit if you're trying to put the ball in play. This is, I think he's one of those guys. If you stuck him in Philadelphia or New York or somewhere else, he'd be a 25-30 home run a year guy. We say that every year with Belt. Oh, this is the year he's going to hit 20 or 25. For San Francisco, and it just never has happened for various reasons, not all it's his fault. But, you know, he's another guy that you can't plug in the middle of the order. But we've heard it at the start of the year. People were saying, well, yeah, the guys you've counted on are going to have to step up. And I thought, well, good luck. You know, they're in their 30s now. And are they going to be as productive as they were when they were 25, 26, 27? You know, that's a big ask. And it just didn't happen. That's one of the reasons that they've fallen out of the race, that they, you know, the lead horses that they counted on have not been there for them. You know, Belt from time to time. Crawford got hot a little bit in the summer, but it just hasn't happened for Posey. And, you know, he's had the hip surgery, and I think that's robbed him of some of his power. He's probably a little more comfortable this year. He's not dealing with as much pain, but you can see he's struggling to drive the ball on a consistent basis. Not much less make contact. He's diving at those pitches low and away. It's not more often than we're used to seeing from Posey, but he's still an asset behind the plate. It's just they're going to have to manage his time as catcher for the next couple of years. So you can't count on Buster Posey being a guy with 15, 20 home runs batting 300 anymore. I just don't think it's going to happen. He might have a resurgent year a la Yadier Molina here and there, but I don't think you can count on it. So they've got to totally rethink the middle of that order for 2020.
All right, you mentioned it, and to finish up, I did want to talk about the possibilities for replacing Bruce Bochy. And, of course, it's going to be a very emotional final month of the season for the Giants. You already talked about, you know, some of those final trips, and then, you know, when you're at Oracle Park and you're realizing, hey, this is it for Bruce Bochy. I mean, he's going to get some really nice ovations there at the end. But you start to think ahead, like you said, and, you know, one of the candidates that should be at the top of the list, in my opinion, is Hensley Mullins. Now, yeah, he's with the former regime, but, I mean, he's definitely put in his time as the hitting coach and the bench coach. And, you know, I think he can do the job, and I think he'd do really well. But there's going to be a lot of names out there. I know one that was thrown out there was Raul Ibanez, who is now a Dodgers assistant. And, man, I think that would be a great choice. Just getting to know him a little bit when he was in the minor leagues, Ray, and then in the major leagues, he always had it together. I've always thought he was a really smart baseball guy, so he'd be a good candidate. And then you think about some of the other, you know, guys who've just been around, like a Joe Girardi, who's won a World Series, or a, you know, a Buck Showalter. I mean, there's going to be a lot of those older names, but a lot of people think that Farhan would go with maybe a younger manager who's, you know, more into the analytics.
Yeah, more into the analytics and has played recently, so understands the modern game a little more. You know, like a Nick Hundley type. You know, people talk about Buster Posey being a player manager. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Stephen Vogt can be a manager someday. Some other names have been thrown out there. You know, Ron Wotus has gotten passed by so many times. That's another guy who deserves to be a manager in the major leagues, but it just hasn't happened for one reason or another.
I agree. I agree right there. I should have mentioned him too.
Yeah. I think the Giants would be in great hands if Ron Wotus were the manager next year. I think they'd be in great hands with Hensley Mullins as the manager. I don't think fans would have any problem with either of those guys being manager of this team. In the case of Mullins, you know, it's been, what, about 20 years since he's been in the major leagues. And Wotus played a short time in the 80s. So, unfortunately, I think for somebody like Farhan Zaidi, who wants a manager who's more connected with people who have played in the modern game, and modern, I mean, 21st century, kind of a drawback for those guys. But I would have a high comfort level with either Wotus or Mullins as manager of this team. And I think Mullins has absolutely earned a shot somewhere as well. Do they go back to a guy named like Matt Williams or you know Eric Chavez, another name I've heard mentioned? I'm not sure. You know, I think that if I had to bet, and this would be like the worst thing to bet on. In fact, I'm looking at a sports book now that released odds in February of this year after Bochy made the announcement, and Omar Vizquel was on that list too. Is one of the better odds.
That's so, an interesting one, yeah.
I think that'd be a great pick as well. But here's the way I look at it. All the names that have mentioned, I don't have any problem with them. I think that the ones that have been mentioned most often would do a great job with this team. I guess if I had to choose one, though, it would be New Orleans.
Yeah, I really like when I talked to him. And Wotus, like you said, either one of those guys I think would do a great
either
job.
One.
So. We'll see what happens. Well, Ray, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. We got only a few more weeks of baseball. So really, the next time I'm going to talk to you is for Dubs OT, the Warriors podcast that we do. And I encourage everybody to listen on a weekly basis. It's hard to believe, but basketball season is right around the corner. The Warriors get it going at their new Chase Arena against the Clippers on October the 24th. I just can't even believe that's happening very soon.
Next month. Yeah, media day coming up later this month, and we wind it up again for another long NBA season. And this one is going to be fascinating because you've had an earthquake or two in the NBA over the summertime with Kevin Durant and the trades that have been made and so forth, and the Warriors are no longer considered the top dog in the West. But let me tell you something, they're still going to be pretty good. So they got three guys with rings still on that club. You know, we're a big part of the start of this run. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So we're starting a new era with the Warriors and ending an era with the Giants. And, you know, Bruce Bochy is – the thing I like about Bruce Bochy is he's never changed, right, as far as how he deals with people, the way he is. It's genuine, right? But he has adjusted in the game a little bit over the years. I think he has. People think he's totally old school, but he has incorporated analytics and things like that. And I think he especially understood his defensive positioning and the bullpen. And that's one of the big reasons the Giants won three World Series championships. But more than that, his ability to manage people. And I talked to like a dozen players the day that Bruce Bochy announced he was going to retire in Scottsdale in spring training at the start of it. Nothing but respect. And so he's going out on a high note, but at least going out as Giants manager on a high note.
Yeah, and it is pretty cool to see the way that he made the adjustment because a lot of old school managers wouldn't want to do that. They'd be like, you know, forget the analytics. I'm just going to do this. And instead, he really made it work, I thought, the best that he could.
Yeah. I mean, he understood that, you know, you want to stay in the game, and somebody who's managed for 25 straight seasons, you know they've made adjustments, right? So it's not like just because somebody is a certain age that they're not qualified or not able to work in the modern environment. And by the way, I'd say that for about any line of work. If you've been in it a long time, chances are you've been able to adjust. But, you know, some people make that assumption. Ageism is rampant today. But I think in Bochy's case, he did change with the times.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. Join us again next week. We'll be at Oracle Park in San Francisco as the Giants take on the Pittsburgh Pirates. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.